everybody. My name is Bernd. I'm an alcoholic, bewildered alcoholic. 20 minutes ago, I had no idea I was going to be here. But here we are. I do not like drunkologues for two reasons. One is that I don't have one to give you. I was a solitary drinker. And the other reason is that that's not where the focus should be. Don't close the door on the past, fine, but it's over and done with. Forget that part. What I'm interested in is sobriety. I would like to focus on my recovery, and I would like to make sure that I have tools available if there comes a time when I feel tempted to go out there and have a drink. One of the members in my home group who is less maturity challenged approaches every speaker with one question: what can this person tell me to stay sober for one more day? And I'm not conceited enough to assume that I have any big secrets, but like everybody else, maybe I've come across something that somebody else finds useful, and if one person stays sober because of tonight for another 24 hours, that's worthwhile. For the rest of you, at least the coffee was free. And just briefly, where I come from, it's pretty obvious. Germany won 2-0 against Sweden, if anybody cares. I was born in Germany shortly after the war. And even getting food on the table was not a given in those days, which means my father would work a double shift, that having lost a leg during the war, and he wanted a beer, he deserved one. As some of us have found out, beer is pretty nutritious, so the idea was, well, if we can't afford good food for the kid, give him some beer. So I started drinking at the age of 2. And as time went on, alcohol was around the house on a daily basis. Not having alcohol at dinner time was strange. Visiting a friend and seeing that there was no alcohol at the dinner table was strange. And I was 8 years old at the time. Excuse me. I grew up, as it seems most of us, with that feeling of not fitting in, being an outsider, being weird, being strange, not feeling at ease in my own skin. And for me, alcohol gave me things that were missing in my life, in the sense that I see alcohol as the big liar, because I think it tells us exactly what we want to hear. Whatever is missing, alcohol tells you, I will give it to you. If it is comfort that you need, shelter, alcohol promises you shelter. The problems of unpaid bills or you name it, it doesn't exist. Alcohol tells you, no, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's just you and me, kid, and we're going to be together. In my case, alcohol told me that I was brilliant. You have no idea what philosophical problems I solved when I was bombed, and I really fixed the world under the influence. Other people Alcohol tells them they're great artists, they're wonderful parents, great martyrs. And I fell for the big lie of alcohol fairly early on, which meant, I suppose, that I was not very motivated in becoming socially adept. And I ended up much of a loner for most of my life. Even when I started a family 18 years ago, we have always been very isolated. The kids, now that they're teenagers, they're beginning to acquire some social skills, but they have carried on the pattern of social isolation. The big change came for me almost 4 years ago, when I came home from work and I'd been looking forward all day long to that sound of that beer can opening up. And when I did it, it suddenly occurred to me, you know, that of all the things I could have been, all I ended up being was somebody who lived for that sound of a beer can popping open. And that felt like a physical blow to the stomach, and I said, I got to do something. What has changed in my recovery? The promises acknowledge that they come true, sometimes quickly, but sometimes slowly. For me, they're coming true slower than molasses flowing uphill in winter, but they are coming true. Proof thereof being the fact that I'm sitting here right now. Even a year ago, I would have just panicked and thrown up in front of Sean just to prove to him that this person is not fit to talk. But here we are. And the big difference, I guess, is simply that without having the big liar telling you crap, you need to listen to what's out there. You have to face reality. You have to deal with what life throws at you, and surprise, surprise, it actually is possible to do so. For myself, whose self-esteem was non-existent, it was quite a... It was a very surprising discovery that I could actually deal with reality, that I could deal with problems, that I could cope with other people. And not only that, it was unbelievable to discover that there actually were people who not just tolerated me, but actually liked having me around. And that, I suppose, is the thing that nobody can argue with about AA, that no matter where we go, we are in the company of friends. For me, AA has become the family that I lost recently after a separation. And anyway, one thing you also get used to at my age is that sometimes your train of thought leaves without you. You see it disappearing in the sunset, and you're waving bye-bye to your train of thought. So you get used to making things up on the fly. I have no idea what I was talking about, but the sense of family that comes with AA. Because AA is such a safe environment, I suppose, it also is a terrific, how can I put it, an area where you can practice things that you simply don't know how to do. Like most of us, I'm retarded emotionally, and it's in AA that I'm able to face those fears which have been hanging around for all my life, such as talking to people. And here it is possible to actually practice a little. You can get some feedback. You can survive even if you give a talk and it's nobody's going to be cured because I'm talking to you for half an hour, you know. I mean, oh my God, you know, what a failure. You realize that just by doing okay, you have done your part. And for me, something that came along with learning how to cope with fears is a feeling of, well, self-respect. Something that has been very strange to me. I never had any self-respect in the sense of, like most of us, self-esteem was non-existent. But maybe this is one of the reasons why we are encouraged to do service. As you do things, you discover you are being useful. You start making coffee left, right, and center, and somebody says, hey, nice coffee. When your self-esteem is microscopic, even something like that is useful. And it's something that you can build on, and you can, after a while, you discover that you do have some self-respect. For myself, I spent most of my life beating myself up. I wasn't good enough here, I wasn't doing this well enough, I was not good enough for myself. It's only been very recently that I've actually been able to make peace with myself and I would suspect quite strongly that having become busy in AA, having volunteered, having faced my fears, just trying to be useful has done an awful lot to help me come to terms with myself. I think I kind of turned a corner one time when I was listening to a speaker who was going through describing what things had been like for him, and I was struck by two things. One, that what he was describing was extremely similar to what I had been going through in my past. And the other thing was that while the speaker was so contemptuous of himself, I wasn't able to feel any contempt for myself. I felt that under the circumstances, what I did, when I did it, was all I could do. It was all I knew. I didn't know any better. And what I did was the best I could do at the time. And it seemed to me as though I had accepted that part. I often hear people describing their past in very, very bitter, hostile, aggressive terms, and I don't feel good about that. I think there's a big danger in running yourself down in that way, and that is that you almost seem to be setting yourself up for failure. What I mean by that is that, look, quitting drinking is easy. I mean, I've done it so often, and I've done it lots of times. It's staying quit that is hard. And every time that in the past that I have tried to stay, and then I went back to drinking, it always happened when I really, really felt extra lousy about myself. And I'm really worried that people who run themselves down, I was so bad, my insanity was so incredible. I'm just worried that that is setting yourself up for failure. I mean, let's face it, we're not stupid. Right? We have done stupid things in the past. But we are smart people because we are here, right? I mean, it's not like you are so stupid that you got lost on the way to the Depaneur and you walk in here, right? You came here for a reason. And that reason indicates that you're smart people. And I think we should remind ourselves more often of the fact that we are smart, just for the purpose of keeping the big liar at bay. The big liar may want to tell you that you're stupid and you're no good and you're worthless and you might as well have a drink, and let's keep in mind that that is a lie. Trying desperately to see how far the clock has advanced, but it hasn't advanced very far. Right. If anybody knows a good joke, they can entertain people. But in the meantime, while I try to think of something to say, go ahead. No, silence is good too. One other thing that I have found so extremely useful as a tool in just maybe not staying sober, but just living better, is that simple advice, one day at a time. I always was terrified of the future because I always lived in the past because I never prepared for the future. The time to prepare for the future is the present. And when you're not living in the present, the future will always be something threatening and terrible. It is when you are able to actually incorporate one day at a time in your daily routine. That's when I learned that the present is a real nice place to be. If you do your part, being in the present, the future is not as threatening, not as terrible as it used to be. And I really, I may be going overboard with the what's the expression, stop and smell the roses thing. But it really has opened my eyes to what is around me. As soon as I started to take this seriously, to just live one day at a time, live one moment at a time. Not too long ago, I was coming out of a store and just noticed that there was a cloud formation in the sky, which was I found it fascinating. And so I stood there for a few moments and just looked at this particular cloud. Of course, within a few moments, there's half a dozen people standing around me trying to figure out what is this turkey staring up at the sky for. But for me, it's been a tremendous discovery what there is around us, that the moment we are in is rich in things. I've gotten to the point where, after 18 years, I'm now living in a one-room apartment, and once or twice a week I make a trek down to the laundromat with my bag of dirty laundry. And it's gotten to the point where I enjoy that. Much like, I don't know how to explain it, the Japanese tea ceremony, for example, is a long, convoluted way of making a lousy cup of tea. The purpose is not to drink some tea, but the purpose of the tea ceremony is the discipline in going through the steps of making the tea properly. And by focusing on each step in that ceremony, one supposedly is able to capture every moment. And similarly, when I start tracking down the street with my dirty laundry, it is a feeling that I enjoy. It connects me to what is around me, and here I'm making absolutely no sense whatsoever, and I realize that. And I think the well really is running dry. Folks, I really tried the best I could, but I was totally unprepared, and as I said, the well is running dry, and before I babble anymore, let me just thank you very much for your patience. I'm glad I entertained some people, and as I said, thank you very much for putting up with me.